Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we are continuing our series in spiritual warfare, and we'll be looking at the temptation of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that life can be tough and full of turmoil and temptation. We ask now that as we come to your word, that you will shine forth from it and reveal to us how to win the spiritual battles of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you and I, we have temptation in our life. It comes to us, and the devil makes sure it comes to us from time to time. But God has given us a way of escape. It says that in 1 Corinthians 13:10, that no temptation has come upon us such as is common to man, and with it God will provide a way of escape. And we find that Jesus probably had some of the most intense temptation in the world when he was in the wilderness. He'd just come out of his baptism. He'd heard God say to him, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit had rested upon his shoulder. He was beginning his ministry with zeal and power. But before he could go out and preach and heal, God sent him into the wilderness. Here he was, full of power. He could have just gone out there and started healing lepers left, right, and center. But instead, God put him through 40 days of intense testing. And God tends to test us before he sends us out into ministry. He gives us a little ministry and we do well in that. He gives us a bigger ministry and so on and so forth. So God's got his eye upon you and he wants to see what you're made of. So he allows things to come to you. God doesn't tempt you on his own, but he knows the devil's going to stress you. He's going to be the stress test person. That's what happened to Jesus, and that's also what happened to Peter at the time of the crucifixion. The devil wanted to sift Peter as wheat. And so there are times when the devil comes to stress test us, to find our weaknesses and to try and break us. But Peter had a stumble, denying Christ three times, but in the end he came out and became a great apostle. He recovered from his mistake that he made during a time of spiritual warfare, and he came back. But Judas did not. Judas just got full of greed, full of the devil, and went out and hung himself. So when we go through God's stress testing of temptation and spiritual warfare, there will be some that pass and some that fail. Judas went on to become a demon-possessed person who hangs himself and is called the son of perdition. He goes down straight to hell. Peter goes through the time of testing and he doesn't get full marks, but he eventually comes back and he's restored as Jesus prayed for him that he would be restored, and goes on to be the head of the apostles. So what are those two different outcomes? They're absolutely incredibly different, and how we respond to times of testing is vital for our Christian life. And for testing will come to all of us. So Jesus is sent out into the wilderness. He's going to go through this time of testing, and God's going to find out what he's made of. Of course, Jesus is God himself, God in human flesh, but he's going through the pathway that we would all go through. He's submitted to the law, and he's submitted to the ways of God. And so he goes out, and the devil comes and tries to get through. He tries to get through while Jesus is weak and tired. He tries to get through while Jesus is weary and has had 40 days without food. He's been wandering around in the wilderness on his own for 40 days. He's bored. He's got nothing to do. He's just wandering around among the sticks and the stones and getting weaker and weaker and weaker without food. He's praying to his heavenly Father. There's no scrolls. There's no synagogue. He's just out there with the wild beasts. And as he's out there with the wild beasts, listening to God, listening for God, there comes a time when the devil says, "Now I will go and I will
break him. I will get through. I will cause Jesus to sin. He is so weak now that I'm going to go there and I'm going to make him stumble. So let's go and have a look, first of all, at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. And let's go over to Luke chapter 4, because we'll put these two parallel passages together, which is what you've got to do. You've got to find the same thing in two different places, and you've got to look at what they're saying to one another. So I'm turning here now to Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said by him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So we find there's three tests here. The test of spiritual presumption on Psalm 91 and jumping off the temple. The test to the flesh and the appetites of the bread. And the test of all the kingdoms of the world being given to him if he just bowed down and worshipped the devil. And here are these three tests. And they all start off, "If you are the Son of God." First of all, the devil attacks the identity, the spiritual identity of Jesus Christ that he had heard from the Father 40 days ago at the baptism in the Jordan. The devil saying, "Did you really hear that? Was it really you? Are you really the Son of God? Do you have any power? Let's see your power. Now turn these stones into bread." And in Matthew it says, "Command these stones to become bread." And in Luke it says, "Tell the stones to become bread." In other words, Jesus had command authority over nature. And we saw that later on when he commands the winds and the waves and they are still. And the devil knew and Jesus knew that he could speak to that rock and it would become a loaf of bread and it would satisfy his hunger and his needs. And he wouldn't have to endure this fasting any longer. Now, after 40 days of fasting, apparently, the body starts to break down. There's some sort of things happen in the body. I'm not very medical, but I studied it for a little while, a few years ago, and apparently it's a time of great desperation. The body's on its last gasp. It wants food more than anything else. And the devil says, "Here, you've got spiritual power. Solve your problem. Go tell these stones to become bread right now and feed yourself." And it was the flesh screaming out for satisfaction. And so this is the temptation to overreach power, to take the spiritual power that he knew he had, to speak to nature and change it, to move mountains, to uproot fig trees, to do whatever needed to be done, and to use that power for his own self-gratification in the moment, the immediate moment. And self-gratification through spiritual power has sent many a preacher astray. They've used their spiritual status to get women and money and houses and cars and jet planes, and they have rushed after things because of the spiritual power and position they've had. And they pray not for the spiritual things of their congregation. They're not praying for the men and women entrusted to them by God. Instead, they're praying for more and more money and more status in this life. And we cannot use our spiritual power and our anointing just for our own self-gratification. That is wicked and that is wrong. And so Jesus turns to the devil and says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And he replies on a couple of things. Firstly, our existence is not just a physical existence, it's a spiritual existence. And it's a spiritual existence that comes from the Bible, from the Word of God. And Jesus had heard the Word of God that said to him, "You are my beloved Son, and you are well pleased." And he hung to that word. He hung to what God had told him. He hung to what he knew in the Old Testament. And he also knew that the devil was the devil. He knew who Satan was, and he knew that Satan was trying to trick him up. So he resists the devil, and it says in James chapter 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so you've got to resist the devil. You've got to say, that sounds like a good deal, but I'm not doing it. And so he stands up using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He quotes Deuteronomy to the devil, and the devil starts heading away from that one. So the devil thinks, I'll come back. I'll come back with another tactic. And so he says, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He quotes Psalm 91 to him. Now, we're hearing a lot of Psalm 91 now during the coronavirus and the plague, and people are saying a plague shall not come near your tent. So you don't have to social distance, so you don't have to wear a mask, so you don't have to do this and that and the other. Just go about life normally. Well, that's the opposite of what God wants, because Jesus replies and says, on the other hand, as is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We can't take Psalm 91 as an excuse for silly behavior. And just as Jesus wasn't to jump off the temple and engage in silly behavior so that God rescues him, so we shouldn't engage in silly behavior by going around and not social distancing and not wearing a mask and not doing this and that and the other. We need to take the virus seriously, and we also need to take Psalm 91 seriously, and we shouldn't put God to the test. We should not take unnecessary risks. In my home country of Australia, some people decided to prove the provision of God by wandering across the Nullarbor Plain without any food or water. And they went to do that, and people heard of it, and the police came and rescued them. And it was a national disgrace to the Christian community because these people had been so foolish to go out into the super dry deserts of Australia without food or water just to prove that they were super spiritual. You don't have to prove that you're super spiritual. God loves you. Jesus has died for you. There's no need to run around trying to prove your spiritual status, trying to prove that you're some sort of favorite for God and God will turn up if you go out and do something foolish. And so Jesus saw through that the devil's plans. He wanted him to test God. He wanted him to go out and take a risk so that God would rush around with some angels and save Jesus from plummeting to the ground. And this would have been a sin of spiritual presumption. It would have been a sin against the Word of God, taking the Word of God out of context. And that we're not to do that as preachers and as Christians. We're not to take the Word of God out of context and use Psalm 91 as some kind of insurance policy for foolish people. So there are great promises in Psalm 91, but we don't push them. Certainly, if a plague does come near us, God is going to protect us just like he protected the people in Israel. But we have to be not going into it ourselves. We want to take the right protection. We want to take the right precaution. So it's both and. Both the Bible and being sensible, because in this situation, Jesus was sensible. And so the last temptation that we have here is, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. And I'm going to go over to Luke instead, because Luke adds a little bit here that Matthew doesn't have. Let's go. And the devil said to him, I will give you this domain and all its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all their glory from a very high point. And he's looking at everything from a very high place, and he can see everything. And he says, here it is. Here is all the world. We're going to give all this to you if you bow down and worship me. And we find that the dictators of the world, the very bad politicians, are often in service to Satan. And some of the movie stars are in service to Satan, and they've said so. And they've gone and said that, oh, when I did this and did that and worshiped this and worshiped that, God made me famous and rich. But what happens is they lose their soul, because the devil wants them to give up their soul to gain all the kingdoms of the world. The devil wants worship more than he wants anything else. So he gets people to make altars and do voodoo and juju and all sorts of magic and occult. And he says, look, I'm going to give you this benefit as a result. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus says, quotes back and says, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil claims that the whole world and its kingdoms and its glory has been handed over to him because of the fall. Now, this is before the cross, of course. So the devil says that it's all his, that the Roman Empire is his, that the Russian Empire is his, that all the empires of that age, wherever they were around the world, the Chinese empires of that time were all his. They were all belonged to the devil. And the Chinese worshipped their things, and the ancient Russians worshipped theirs, and the Roman Empire worshipped Zeus and their god and the emperor. And it all belonged to the devil, and the devil had complete control of the kingdoms of the world, and they were all his, all their power, all their pomp, all their gold, all their silver, and he could give it to whoever he wanted. And he gets their worship, he gets their allegiance, which is what he wants as a spirit being. He wants worship and allegiance, and he will give people all this money, left, right, and center, if they bow down. But what's the consequences? When they bow down before the devil, when they bow down before the desire for prosperity and money and greed and everything else, they are losing their soul. They're losing their salvation. They become hollow people. And eventually everything crumbles and falls. And one day they die and the demons come to take them to the pit of hell. And then they know that selling their soul was the biggest mistake they ever made. Because naked we come into this world and naked we leave this world. We cannot take it with us. And it's not worth selling your soul for money, for women, for power, for fame, even to become the president of a country or to become a rich and famous movie star. It is not worth it. You have to leave all that behind, because it's only the Lord himself can you serve. And then you will have an eternal reward that works out to be better than any reward on this earth. And you will have eternal life. And when Jesus returns, you'll have the hundredfold reward in the millennial kingdom. So it's not worth it to serve the devil, because the devil will take your mind, he will take your peace, he will take your family, he will take your children, he will take your own soul. He will take far more than you thought you were giving him, because the devil fundamentally is a liar. And he wants to destroy you, he wants to destroy your mind, your soul, your heart, everything that's yours. So let's talk about this with respect to spiritual warfare. This is obviously a spiritual battle between Jesus and the devil. So what does the temptations in the wilderness teach us about spiritual warfare? Firstly, it teaches us the value of the word of God. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, each time he responded with the word of God that he had memorized. If you want to be a great spiritual warrior, if you want to win the battle with the devil, you have to have the Bible memorized. And we find out that Jesus quoted the Bible word for word, and so did the devil. The devil quoted the Bible to Jesus as well. So the devil's quoting scripture and Jesus is quoting it right back at him in the power of the Holy Ghost. So you need to have the scriptures ready, like you need to have your sword ready. You need to memorize the scriptures word for word, and you know need to know what context to apply them in, so you can defeat all the temptations the devil's trying to throw at you. And you need to stand firm. When there's some sexual temptation, you need to remember the verse about fleeing immorality and stick with that. And remember the verses that are going to make a difference in your life. So the first thing you need to know about spiritual warfare is that you win through the word. You're going to win the spiritual battle through the word of God. The second thing you need to note here is that Jesus was a person of great endurance. There were three different attacks from the devil. He was tired. He was worn out. And even though all this was happening around him, even though the world was spinning, Satan was spinning these lies and illusions around him. And I think they were illusionary. I mean, it says he took him up to a high place, to a high mountain, and showed him the kingdoms of the world. I think that was something actually happening inside Jesus' head. It seemed like that to Jesus, because obviously you can't see the world from even the highest mountain, even the Mount Everest. You can't see the whole world because the world's not flat. So he could see a good portion of it. And I think what he did is he created like a scene where Jesus was taken up into a virtual reality kind of thing, a sort of hypnotic trance where Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And so the devil's getting into Jesus' head. He's trying to spin illusions. He's trying to deceive him every which way. And then Jesus replies. He comes back into reality and says, "No, I only serve the Lord my God. Get out of here, Satan." So Jesus was subjected to very, very intense temptations from his body, from inside his mind, from his own spiritual status and desire to see the word of God work in his life with the Psalm 91 temptation. All of this stuff was going around and around in his head, and he endured it. He stuck to God. He saw through all the temptations of the devil. He didn't let the temptations fill his mind. Instead, God was filling his mind, and the need to stay firm. So when things are very confusing, when you find temptations coming at you left, right, and center, stick with God. Hold to God and don't let the devil take you on a wild ride. So you need to be a person of endurance through all the pressures that the devil throws with you in your life, in your family, and in the various stresses that you come through. The third thing we need to know about spiritual warfare is that this happens when we are in the spirit. Often it was after a great spiritual experience. And that what happened for Jesus. He'd come out of the water of baptism. And it's just after our great spiritual experiences that the devil tries to tear us down and smash us up. And so the devil's trying to tear Jesus down. He's trying to smash him up to bits. So we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard just when we've come out of some almighty spiritual experience, when we've come out of worship, when we've come out of a time of prophecy and prayer. That is when the devil tries to trip us up and take us down. There are powers and principalities there that are trying to destroy the greatest Christian. No matter how much you've been in the Word, no matter how much you've known God, or for how many years you've known God, you're not better than Jesus. And even Jesus was subject to temptation. Now, it's not a sin to be subject to temptation because Jesus was subjected to temptation, but he was not guilty. He did not give in to the temptation. He resisted the devil trying to get into his heart, his mind, and into his actions. So Jesus resisted the devil. He was tempted, but he didn't give in to temptation at all. And we find that in Hebrews, where it says he was tempted in every point, just as we are, yet without sin. So we have a merciful high priest because he's been through it. He's been here on earth. He's known the temptations that came in the wilderness and the terrible stress of the cross. He's been attacked by people left, right, and center, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Jesus has a sympathy for us because he has been tempted in every point as we have. So temptation comes to us, temptation strikes at us, but we've got to be able to win the spiritual battle, and we've got to be able to push the devil out of our life. So we have this ability to dwell in spiritual realms. We have the ability to defeat the devil. He's been disarmed. The powers and principalities have been disarmed by the cross. And we need to wield that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to have spiritual victory after spiritual victory after spiritual victory. And you need to commit yourself to memorizing those scriptures so you can be a useful spiritual warrior in your culture. If you've got a place where you've often fallen down, a place where you often give in to temptation, then you need to memorize the scriptures at that point of weakness. So you can go to those scriptures quickly and you can grab them and you can use them against Satan when he tries to get into your heart and your mind and into who you are as a person. So as Jesus is fighting the devil in the wilderness, we find that Jesus gets the victory. He sends the devil packing and the devil leaves him to come back at a more opportune time. And the devil gets defeated and Jesus goes from there out into a great ministry. And soon afterwards, he's healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing lepers. And the whole of Israel, all the way up to Syria and all through Judea, they hear about Jesus because he's come out of temptation and he's now got a tremendous anointing. And that's the start of his ministry. So when you go through temptation, know that the testing's coming. You're being stress tested by God. And when the stress testing's finished, the devil will leave you alone and you'll come out into a place of anointing. Now, don't deliberately run into temptation. When it comes to you, when you're going through hard times, know this is a time of transition. When the temptation is done, you will come out with a better anointing and a better life. So it's worth resisting the temptation. If you give in to the temptation, then your spiritual victory will be delayed. Your ministry might even be finished if it's a bad enough temptation that you give in to. So don't give in to temptation. Think of the reward. Think of the joy set before you and resist the devil at all times and he will flee from you. And that's what happened. The devil fled from Jesus because Jesus survived the temptation by quoting the word of God and knocking the devil flat. So you need to be someone who's determined in your heart and your mind to resist the devil when he turns up. Don't say, oh, well, today I'm feeling a little bit weak and lazy, so I'll give in. No, 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 no. You have to resist the devil every single time. And don't be presumptuous. Don't think that just because God makes forgiveness available, that you should use it all the time. No, stand strong. Be good. Don't give in to temptation. Be someone who's full of the grace of God, full of the holiness of God. Be holy as he is holy. Take holiness seriously and do not give in to sin at all. Sin's a very bad thing. Sin can destroy you. Don't give in to temptation, but be like Jesus and know the word of God. This is John Edmiston signing off. God bless you all. Amen.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity. And I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.